Well, Ketov, welcome back to another in our ongoing series of Shirim HaDaf Yomi. As promised in the end of the last podcast, we are now on the Mishnah in Perek Shvi'i, Mishnah Bet on, Mishnah Vav. Daf Ayin Bet Amud Aleph, Eilu Yotzot Shelo B'Ketubah. The following is a list of women who either must or may be divorced without benefit of a Ketubah because they violated proper norms of behavior. Ha'overet al dat Moshe v'Yehudit. That's basically the topic sentence. If they violate dat Moshe, which we understand to be Doraita, and Yehudit, which is the common practice of Jewish women at the time and place of modesty and dignity. Bezui dat Moshe, what are the examples of dat Moshe? Machilato she'no musar, if she feeds her husband food which is not tithed. Masham Shato Nida, she has relations with him while she's in Nida. Obviously, in these cases, he does not know that he's violating the law. V'lo kotzala chala, she doesn't separate chala from the dough. V'noderet ve'na mekayemet, that's the odd one out. She takes nedarim and does not fulfill them. It's the odd one out because it does not directly implicate him. And nonetheless, it is still a gross violation that is caused for divorce without benefit of a ketubah. We will see why. Vezu, the first three are fairly obvious. Why? Because she continues to create an obstacle for him as far as his own practice of Shmirat Torah Mitzvot. Vezu dat Yehudit. What is dat Yehudit? One, Yotzav Rosha Parua, if she goes out, the implication here being out to the shuk, and her hair is Parua, which either means uncovered or undone, unbound. Tova Bashuk, she does her spinning, which we learned about in the fifth parak, her spinning of wool. She does it in the marketplace. We'll see why that's a problem. Umudaberatim kol adam, and she speaks with every man. We will see what that specifically refers to. Abashal omer afam kalal yolda befanav. He adds a fourth example of dat Yehudit, which is if she curses his parents in his presence. Retarfon omer af hakolanit. He adds in someone who is a kolanit, who has a loud voice. Vezui kolanit. What is a kolanit? L'chshehim edaberet b'toch beita u'shchaneha shomin kola. When she speaks in her own house and her neighbors hear her voice. Now we'll see that it's not just any kolanit, but it is one particular private content is being expressed by her in a way that the neighbors hear. All right, let's go in the Gemara. The first thing Gemara asks is ma'achilato she'edom musar. The first item on the list is when she feeds him untithed food. Hey chidami, what's the case? Idi yada, if he knows in advance she's not separating, then nifrosh, then let him start not eat. In which case, it's a different circumstance of a woman who's not being observant, but who's not tricking him. Idi lo yada, if he doesn't know about it, mino yada, then how does he know now that he's suddenly coming to ask, I want a divorce, or a ketubah, not a ketubah? The answer is lo tzricha da amr le ploni kohen tiken li takri. She makes a claim. The circumstances where she makes a claim that a particular Kohen, did all the tithing on my behalf. And so that's how she represents herself. So the husband, who obviously is suspicious, because otherwise he wouldn't be doing this, goes and asks that person that she claims did the separation on her behalf, and turns out that it never happened. Now, Masham Shato Nida. Again, we're going to have the same problem. If he knows that she's in Nida Nifrosh, he should stay away from her. If he doesn't know, then he has to rely on her. How do we know that a Nida keeps the count private to herself? It's not anything she has to demonstrate or prove to anybody. This is really in the context of a Zava. She shall count for herself 7 days. Right, so in other words, again, if he knows she's in Nida, he should stay away. If he doesn't know she's in Nida, he doesn't really have the right to check. Again, it's going to be like the previous case. She'll say that a particular rabbi showed him the dam, and he said that it was dam tahor. He goes and asks that chacham, and it turns out the chacham says either I never saw it, or I did see it, and it was tamei. I never said it was tahor. We have another possibility. If all of the neighbors know her to be a Nida, not they don't know it from physical evidence, but as the women talk among themselves, they know her to be a Nida, then the husband is held accountable for having relations with her, even though she never came out and said to the husband, I'm a Nida. Nonetheless, that huchzaka b'shchinoteha gives her that particular status. Okay, v'lokotzal achala. The third item on the list is parallel related to the first one. She doesn't separate chala. Hechidam idu yada nifrosh idu yada mena yada. Same question we've had. Lotzricha da amrle ploni gabal tiken li taisa. Again, she comes and reports that Ploni, the neater separated the challah for me. So the husband goes and asks him, and it turns out the guy says, I didn't separate anything. So in other words, she represents the challah as being taken, and the bread, therefore, as being mutter. But she does it based on the support that a certain person helped her, and then that falls down. Good. The fourth item on the list, which I pointed out really is the odd man out, is noderet ve'ena mekayemet. The amar mar, let's see why. Ba'avon nedarim banim metim. If parents take nedarim that they don't fulfill, their children are taken from them. And so therefore, the husband has a great interest in making sure that his wife doesn't take nedarim, or if she does take them, then she fulfills them. Shinamar, we have the pasuk, al titenet picha lachtiyat b'sarecha. If you look on the page, you'll see that the rest of the pasuk is there. Just a parenthetic note, the reason I do that is because chachamim, of course, knew all of Tanakh by heart, and when they were discussing different issues and would throw in a half pasuk, they all understood not only the context, but they knew the rest of the pasuk. So they didn't have to put the whole thing down. We, who are, shall we say, not nearly as expert in Tanakh, it's important for us to take a look at the whole pasuk, and sometimes even more, sometimes the whole context, to figure out what the referent is, and therefore, how they're using it, in the particular drasha, or whatever. So in this case, Alten Picha Lachtir Psarecha, Altman Fnem Alach Kishkarahu, why should God come and destroy the work of your hands? What does that mean? What is it that man creates? It's his children. And it says, why should God get angry at you and destroy your that which you've created? So we see that if your mouth, if you open your mouth too wide, meaning you make commitments, you make nedarim that you don't fulfill, that's what the result will be. Nachman Amar Mihachi has a different pasuk for the same idea from Yirmiyahu. Lashavi keiti et bneichem. Literal translation, of course, is that I have smitten your children for naught. In other words, you didn't accept the Musar. But the drasha is al iske shav, meaning I have smitten your children because of words of shav, meaning empty words or empty promises. Tanya Reb Meir Omer, Meir said, Kol Yadev Ishto Shino Deret Ve'Na Mekayemet. Let's say a man knows that his wife takes the dharma and she doesn't fulfill them. Yachzor V'Yadirena. He should go and give, and adjure her via a neder. Which, of course, doesn't, on the face of it, doesn't seem to help at all. It doesn't make things worse. That if he knows that she's taking the dharma, he will say, I madir you to the same effect, which then just makes a double whammy. My Matakinla. How does that can help? Here's his idea. Why don't you provoke her? Because nedarim are generally taken in the heat of anger. Why don't you provoke her? Because then she'll repeat the neder in your presence via fair line. Then you can repudiate the neder as her husband. So the rabbis responded to a mayor. Perhaps. We'll see why I say perhaps. They responded and said, a man can't live with a snake in one. In other words, you've got a solution for one particular instance. But if you know that it's a habit, your wife takes some time, you can't always be on call like that every day to provoke her, to get her to say a neder, and then to repudiate it. That's not a life. You can't live with a nachash, with a snake in one basket. You've got to divorce her. Now, there's another version of this, meaning that Chachamim perhaps responded to another statement of another Chacham with that statement. Tanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kol Hayodevi Ishto Sheina Kotzala Chala. Anybody who knows that his wife doesn't separate challah, so that's very simple. He should just take the bread that she hands him and separate it again. And that way, for sure, he will be eating properly a metukana bread. So according to this version, that's where the Chachamim said, you can't live like that. Now, the one who learned it about Rabbi Yehuda certainly would learn it about Rabbi Meir. But the one who learns it about Rameyer, Avalha, is even in Dimikri Ve'achil. In the case of the Chala, remember that Nedarim is it's a sort of a vicarious responsibility, but with the Chala, you're actually eating it. And so therefore, even if you would accept Rameyer's position that you have a solution, you might not accept Rabiuda's position to say that that's the solution, because once in a while you might end up eating it anyways. Okay, Rezu Dat Yehudit. So the second half of the Mishnah is not Dat Moshe, but Dat Yehudit. The first example is Yotzav Rosha Parua. Now, Rosha Parua Doraita, the Gemara presents the notion that walking outside with your hair unbound or uncovered is a Doraita Dichtiv. How do we know that? Farat Rosha Isha. In the course of the Sotas, public demeaning and shaming, the Kohen Para her hair, which either means uncovers or unbinds, unbounds it, lets it loose. And it's part of the shaming. In this version of Rabbi Shmuel's statement, he says that pasuk is a, it turns out to be a lotase, or a warning against Benot Yisrael walking out with their hair parua. In the Sifri's version, it reads a little different. It says, Mikan the Benot Yisrael shemachasot roshem. This proves that Benot Yisrael generally keep their hair covered. And so you see the norm, that's the norm. And, that may make it less a mitzvah doraita as opposed to a description of a norm. In any case, the Gemara here is going with this position and says, doraita, if mi doraita, the obligation is kalata shapir dami. If she has the work basket that they would normally wear on their head, they didn't have necessarily pockets in their clothes, so when they would want to take their needles or their wool or whatever it is with them out to the market, they would put it in a basket they had on their head. That's called kalata. So kalata shapir dami doraita, that satisfies the requirement of not being parur rosh. Dat Yehudit, but what's the Dat Yehudit? The Dat Yehudit is afilu kalata nami asur. Even that's not enough. When you go out to the shuk, you have to wear whatever the women generally wear, which would be something more than that, something over it or something else. Good, so that means that when the Mishnah says Yotzav Rosha Parua as Dat Yehudit, it's referring to a woman who does keep that work basket on her head, but doesn't have the other adornment, whatever it may be. Now, Amar Rav Asi Amar Yochanan, kalata in b'mishum pirua rosh. So Rav Yochanan made a statement that if a woman wears kalata, that's not parua rosh. So Rabbi Zera turned around and said, Hecha, where, in what location does that apply? Elam b'shuk, if we're talking about when she's out in the shuk, Dat Yehudit, that is a violation. We just said it's a violation of Dat Yehudit. Ve'ela b'chatzer, must be in her own yard. In her own yard, imken lo inach tabal avram avinu, she'shav tachat ba'ala. Interesting observation. Rabbi Zera says that if you're going to claim that even in her own courtyard she must at least keep the kalatan, then no girl could ever stay married to her husband, because women generally don't cover their hair in their own backyard. He says, you know what it must mean? It must be referring to going from one chatzer to another one via the mavui, via the alley that connects the chatzerot, which is like a side street. There, the kalata is enough. When you go to the shuk, you have to have wear whatever the other thing is. It doesn't say here. Good. Now, the next thing on the list of Dat Yehudit was v'tovah b'shuk, spinning in the marketplace. This is not talking about Pilates. This is talking about spinning wool. Amar Yehuda Mar Shmuel, b'maraz rotah livnei adam. He says, what's the problem with tovah b'shuk? Is that when she does it, she exposes her arms to the people around. In other words, sitting and doing something which will expose your arms, but you do that privately, you do that in the shuk, then you're exciting the populace that's there. There's two ways of reading this, really, but what he seems to be saying is that she has, either she has a, the way Rashi reads it, is that the wool that she's spinning is colorful and fancy and is drawing people's attention, and it goes lower and draws their attention to certain parts of her body, or it may mean that she has some sort of a scent that she has, and every time that she spins, it sends off the scent. Take a look at Yishayahu Gimel, you'll see Haloch v'tafof. In any case, she's doing something that's exciting the men around. We have an interesting story about that coming up in a second. The third item was, if she speaks to every man, what does that mean? It means she's flirting with young men. It doesn't mean she's saying hello, good morning to people. That's proper. But she's flirting with young men. It's a great story. It says, one time, I was walking about the Mac of Rav Ukva. Chazite lahi aravya, v'yatva kashadya pilcha v'tova verad k'neged paneha. He said, we were walking and we saw this Arab woman who was sitting in the marketplace, and she was spinning, and she was doing this Vered Keneged Paneha, whether it means the scent or whether it means she was spinning and having the colorful wool or yarn go in an area that would draw attention to parts of her body. Came in the Chazitin, and when she saw us, Pasikta the Pilcha, she stopped spinning, Shadite, she threw it on the ground. Amrali ulam havli plach, and then she said, "Young man, please pick up the spindle." So Amabar Rav Ukva milta. So Rav Ukva then said something about this. He had a comment about it. So my Amar Bar, what did he say about it? Ravina Amar, this is much later now. Ravina says, "Tova b'shuk Amar Bar." He said, "Oh, that's an example of tova b'shuk." Rabbanan Amri medaberetim kol adam Amar Bar. No, he said, "That's an example of medaberetim kol adam." In other words, Rav Ukva used this interaction with this Arab woman as an instruction to explain what the Mishnah means. But which clause in the Mishnah? Was it an example of tova b'shuk, and you see the problem with it? Or was it an example of medaberetim kol adam, and you see the problem with that? We had the Mishnah that Abba Shaul added a fourth dot Yehudit category, which is if she curses his children, so his parents in his presence. Shmuel takes it one step further. He says not only if she curses your parents in your presence, but even if she curses your parents in your children's presence, and you're not there. The way to remember it is what Yaakov said to Yosef. Ephraim and Asher are like Reuven and Shimon, meaning the third generation is like the second generation. So that if someone curses, let's say, Yaakov, not only in the presence of Reuven, but in the presence of Menashe, that's still considered a violation of Dat Yehudit. What's an example of cursing? It doesn't have to be an imprecation that follows a formula like in Masechet Sanhedrin, but rather Amarabba da Amrale Nechle Arya Lasaba. For instance, if she gets really angry, says, "Oh, I hope your grandfather," meaning my father-in-law, "your grandfather gets eaten up by a lion." Ape branch. She says it in front of his son, meaning the grandson of the one she's cursing. Right? Rabbi Tarfon added one more category. That's hafa kolanit. My kolanit. What's a kolanit? You know, Mashmuah mashmat kolal iske tashmish. That when she wants her husband to have relations with her, she does it in a loud way that all the neighbors know that that's what she's asking for. The real violation of dignity. Now, Manita Tana, we had a Brita that suggests something else. Meshameshet b'chatzer zu v'nishma kolah b'chatzer acheret. It's actually that she makes a lot of noise during Tashmish, but it's not noise that's of pleasure, but rather noise that is of pain, that she's in terrible pain. But later on in our parak, we will see a Mishnah that discusses mumin, and then it should be listed as a mum, that if a woman is so fragile that when she has relations it causes her tremendous pain, should be listed there. So rather, it should be the way that we originally explained it, which is that simply she is immodest and not very quiet when it comes to making her demands or requests of her husband known. So, in any case, we will continue Mir Tzashem in the next podcast on Daf Ayin Bet Amud Bet with Mishnah Zayin, with a Mishnah that appears in nearly identical form Masachet Kiddushin, but we will see it here first. Everybody should have a wonderful day.